is Bad Boys and Beyond with your hosts, Mike Payton and Keith Black Trudeau.
That's it, baby, I'm foul.
Hey, I'll put it in the front page, back page, middle page, wherever headliners, column one or two, we will win game two. Good back it off, we will win game two.
The game's over and the Pistons have won the world championship.
Welcome back to Bad Boys and Beyond. We are your hosts, Mike Payton and Keith Black Trudeau. We are coming at you from the War Room. Once again, we're going to be doing the 2015 NBA draft today. This is going to be an interesting one. I have the second pick. I have a plan. We'll see where it goes. Before we get into that, a Woj bomb got dropped today, a huge one. Damian Lillard got traded, not to the Miami Heat, not to the Toronto Raptors, which was a popular one as early as this week, but to the Milwaukee Bucks. And here's how the whole deal works out. The Dame's going to the Bucks, Drew Holiday and DeAndre Ayton, and a guy and a 2029 first round Bucks pick will go to the Blazers, and the Suns get Nurkic, Nazir Little, Keon Johnson, and Grayson Allen. That is quite a trade.
Keith, yeah, so I like this for all three teams. Maybe Phoenix the least, but I don't think anyone really gets screwed here. Milwaukee, obviously, they get Dame Lillard. They were getting a little – look – let's make one thing clear. Milwaukee had the best record in the league last season. They won 58 games, which normally is not good enough for the best record. It was last season. They were better than just about everybody, but they were not as good as they used to be, especially during their championship season. Dame will no doubt improve them offensively. They did struggle a lot more than they used to score, simply because Chris Middleton was coming back from injury. He really struggled. Drew Holiday had one of his best seasons ever. He really carried them, which is ironic that he's the guy being sent out here. But that probably also improved his trade value to the point where even at his age, he was seen to be a guy that was worth trading for Dame Lillard. So, look, Dame and Giannis is immediately the best 1-2, the most lethal 1-2 combo in the NBA offensively.
Yeah.
That is Mr. Outside and Mr. Inside. That is a wonderful pick and pop combo. The unfortunate thing is Dame is far from a great defender, and Drew Holiday was the guy holding their entire defense together at times. He was their point of attack guy, one of the best in the entire league at it. That is a massive downgrade for them defensively, and they've always been strong defensively. So I'm interested to see how this plays out. A lot of people are gifting Milwaukee championship favorite status immediately. I need to see how this plays out first, because they are going to have to cover defensively for Dame, and they haven't had to cover defensively for guards in a long, long time. They've always had good defensive guards. But look, overall, you can't knock it. It's Dame Lillard. Bottom line, he's just a massive talent upgrade. Portland, I thought Portland made off like bandits here. They get DeAndre Ayton from Phoenix. He's disgruntled, but he's still very young. Former number one overall pick, starting center on a team that went to the finals. Drew Holiday, who won't play a minute in Portland, they will send him off for even more assets. I am not going to pretend I know anything about
Kamara.
Yeah, Tumani Kamara, late second round pick. Who knows if he even makes the team. And I think a couple of juicy scratch-offs, a 28 pick swap and a 29 unprotected first-round pick. Who knows? Milwaukee's a very old team. Yeah. Those picks are highly likely to be extremely valuable. And if they're not, I think Portland still gets enough in this deal to make it well worth their while. Phoenix, they get Jusuf Nurkić, very capable starting center. Problem is he's not as good as DeAndre Ayton, especially on the defensive end. They do get Grayson Allen. I think that's a very underrated part of this deal. Very good defender, adds wing depth. They weren't going to get a guy that could defend like him on the open market for a minimum salary. Nasir Little could go either way. Same with Keon Johnson. They will obviously get more minutes on a very, very thin Phoenix bench. but I don't know how well they fit on that team. But look, overall, I love this trade, and I love the fact that they did not, that the Blazers did not cave. They didn't send Dame Lillard to Miami when he demanded essentially a trade to Miami. I think more teams need to do this. I have nothing wrong against players asking for trades, but when a player asks for a trade to a specific team and essentially kills his team's leverage, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's how you should be doing business. And both the players and the teams, the NBA is a business. You have to give a little to get a little. And you know what? They didn't listen to Dame. They sent him somewhere else. And you know what? They still did Dame a favor because Dame went to the Milwaukee Bucks. He's going to play with Giannis. I don't want to hear one complaint out of his mouth. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, he's got a arguably a better, much better chance to win a championship in Milwaukee than he has in Miami. Even, you know, I thought that the Jrue Holiday part of it was kind of like, you know, if you could have found a way to do that trade without getting rid of him, that would have been just so much better. But yeah, that's hard to do. But I don't know why the Blazers would. I mean, I guess because they could sell him off for assets. But
yeah,
it seems to me like the Blazers are like on their way to a full on rebuild. I don't even know how Ayton really works out in this at the end of the day. Is he a free agent after this year?
I don't believe so. I think he's probably got at least a couple of years remaining, but Ayton's so young, he could be part of a rebuild. On top of that, look, if the Blazers weren't interested in rebuilding, they would have traded number three pick in the draft like everybody wanted, like Dame wanted them to. The fact that they didn't and they kept it and they drafted Scoot Henderson, who somehow miraculously fell to them at three. Look, the writing was on the wall. This was a rebuild months ago. the Blazers are just following the plan. And, yeah, they can. It wouldn't surprise me if they rerouted Jrue Holiday to Miami for the same assets that people thought they were going to get for Dame Lillard. I think Miami would actually want Jrue Holiday more because he's such an excellent defender and he's a great fit with what they do. Dame is certainly a better player than Jrue overall, but he's not a great fit in Miami for the type of bulldog defense that they like to play around the perimeter. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me to see Holiday in Miami and for them to get even more assets coming back, maybe Tyler Hero, who they can once again swap to somebody else. The Blazers could theoretically piece together two or three moves off of the Dame trade and just keep hoarding assets and get really healthy overnight. And by the way, they have a very young, exciting team right now. I don't know how good they'll be, but they are definitely going to be a league pass team for at least the first month of the season with all the young athletic talent that they have.
You got to wonder if maybe Jeremy Grant is wanting out at this point as well.
Speaking of guys that are going to get rerouted, they cannot trade Jeremy Grant until at least, I want to say, what is it, usually December, like second week of December or something?
Yeah, he's going to have to be a Blazer for a little bit. Yeah,
he's going to have to stay there for a little while. But eventually, I still don't think the Blazers are going to be very good, at least not this season. He's going to get sick of the losing fast, and he's going to – if he doesn't publicly ask for a trade, I don't think he's ever done that before. He got paid. He got the money that he thought he was worth. I think that alone – it is going to pacify him for a while, but eventually I think it will be best for both the Blazers and Jeremy Grant for them to part ways.
On the Suns end, you know, and this is a hot take, but I think Nurkic is a much better fit than Ayton was. I think that you got a better shooter out of Nurkic. He's a better 3-point shooter. I think you could do more with him. Ayton also just didn't want to be there. So I mean, like personality wise, you've got a better fit. I don't know. It just makes Nurkic makes more sense on the Suns than he does than Ayton does to me.
Those two things are true, but the fact of the matter is that Nurkic can't guard anybody, not anybody that's at the level of being a starter on a playoff team. Ayton, even at his worst, could do that. He got lit up against the Nuggets, but everybody gets lit up against Jokic. That's not his fault. Yes, he was disgruntled, and look, maybe his attitude wasn't the best. But the bottom line is, he was an impact defender, and the Phoenix Suns had very little of that on their team yesterday. Now they have even less today. I think Nurkic, yeah, you're right. You have a point about Nurkic being a better fit offensively. But eventually the Phoenix Suns are going to have to stop somebody. And this definitely made them worse on that end, with the exception of Grayson Allen. But Grayson's a reserve. He's not going to step into the starting lineup. I don't know who in that starting five is going to stick their nose in there and get a loose ball or block a shot or get a stop. It's, you got five guys that all want to shoot the ball. I just don't like how that is going to work out. Look, Phoenix is going to be really, really, really good no matter how it plays out, but I just don't know if they'll be a championship team unless they can somehow find a way to get some defensive players in there that can, that are good enough to start, because they don't have any at this moment.
Yeah, I don't think anybody plays defense anymore, but you got to be able to play at some level. And yeah, I think you're right. Aiden's definitely a better defensive player. Speaking of Aiden, I think this finally, hopefully, puts to bed this whole Aiden to the Pistons thing that Pistons fans fear or welcome, depending on who you talk to. I think that's over. It's gone. It's done. It's not going to happen. DeAndre Aiden won't be a Piston.
Yeah. Jeremy Grant's return, though.
Still very much
the odds of that happening took a little boost today.
Yeah. And Devin Booker will be a Piston. It'll happen. It'll happen. It'll happen.
Yeah. In 2032, he's 38 years old.
Nope. As soon as his contract's up in Phoenix, he'll be first thing smoking to Detroit. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Cade and Devin Booker in the backcourt. It's going to be incredible. All right. Let's get to some other fantasy things here. Let's talk about the 2015 NBA draft. Keith, hit us with some news and notes on this bad boy.
Well, this will go down as the Kentucky draft. Not just because six players from this draft came from the University of Kentucky basketball team. And one of them actually went undrafted. You had seven guys declare. But also because two players from the University of Louisville were also drafted. So the state of Kentucky was actually the big winner in this draft. Also, and Mike was astute enough to point this out to me, not that it wasn't already in my notes, but I just want to let everyone know that he caught this too. I'm proud of him. This is the very first redraft that we've ever done where the top 14 picks in this draft, the top 14 selections, were all originally owned. Not one team that's going to be drafting in our redraft acquired that pick from somebody else. This is the ultimate testament to fiscal responsibility in the NBA. The top 14 selections in this draft, none of them were traded to somebody else. These are all being taken by the teams that they originally belong to.
It's a miracle. I mean, like, when you think about it, it really is a miracle.
How far we have come since the 1980s, when almost every single selection had been traded 7 years ago.
Like, even when you go forward to the next draft, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 picks get moved in the 2016 draft. Like, It's just unheard of that all these picks will just stay the same. And the crazy thing about it is this isn't really that great of a draft.
No, I actually looked this draft was only 8 years ago. There are only a couple of dozen players from this draft class that are still active today. That's it. This is far from the worst draft class we've ever done, but it is not a deep one. There are not a whole lot of guys. I nearly put DeLon Wright on my draft board. That is how far the drop-off is, I don't know, after the top 17, 18 guys. It's not a bad draft class. I'm going to have fun with it. I'm just saying, this draft class is probably going to disappear sooner than some of the ones previous to it.
I've got some guys on here that are, you know, it's a real stretch to have them on the board for sure. We'll see if any of them get. I've got 20 players in total on my board.
I've got 17. DeLon might have made my top 20.
DeLon's not on my board. I totally forgot about
it. That's why I quit at 17. Because yeah. If I get to the point where DeLon Wright is on my big board, it's time to stop naming players.
Yes. All right. Well,
if you're listening, I'm sorry. That wasn't personal. I'm just
DeLon's not listening.
We love DeLon Wright on this show.
Yes, we are a pro DeLon Wright podcast. All right. Well, the Minnesota Timberwolves are on the board. Keith, it's your turn to pick first this week.
Oh, this is a crazy pick for me.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're going to do.
I would hope all of our listeners do too, because this is pretty easy. It's not a great fit, but I don't care. He's clearly the best player on the board. So setting the stage, we have the Minnesota Timberwolves coming off of the Kevin Love trade. They've already have the previous two number one overall picks on this team, Anthony Bennett and Andrew Wiggins. They have this number one pick. Not Anthony Bennett is a non-factor. Andrew Wiggins is certainly a factor, but he's not doing as well. Zach LaVine is on this roster. People forget he started out with the Timberwolves before they pieced together a trade to get Jimmy Butler, which backfired horribly. Ricky Rubio's here. This team needs a big man. But overall, I think they just need some talent, and they need a guy that can put some points on the board. I have both things here. Out of the University of Kentucky, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Devin Booker.
Easy peasy. And,
yeah. Look, you can argue Carl Anthony Towns statistics in my face all you want. The fact of the matter is Devin Booker was the best player on a team that went to the NBA Finals and nearly won a championship. Carl Anthony Towns has yet to get out of the first round, and he hasn't even really come all that close. Yeah, this team has Zach LaVine. This team has Andrew Wiggins. I really don't care about that. Booker is a superior player to either of them. You can figure it out later. I'm not going to play fit with a number one overall pick. And yeah, I really like, no, Devin Booker might not like it because that's not going to make the Timberwolves organization any smarter, but I think they will be better off long-term with Devin Booker than they would be with Cat.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, that was exactly how I had it on the board. I think that's how pretty much anybody would have had it on the board. So the Lakers are up next, and they are, I mean, this was another really easy pick. They originally went with, who did they originally go with? D'Angelo Russell, who is coincidentally back on the team now for who knows how long, right? I am going to go with, now this team is, this is like the, this is a bad basketball team at this point. They've got Jordan Clarkson, but he really isn't Jordan Clarkson yet. Kobe Bryant's there, but
it's almost, Kobe.
It's almost, he's going to retire very soon. They have Julius Randle, who they took last year. They got Larry Nance Jr. Larry was in this draft. My bad. Meta World Peace is still on the team. I don't know if this was when he came back or if he never left. I don't remember. Swaggy P's here, but this team doesn't have as a center. They're working with Roy Hibbert, the bones of Roy Hibbert, whatever was left at that point.
Yeah. And Meta was in China the year prior to this, so this is actually his return to the NBA.
Ah, that's what I thought. Robert Sacre, and Tariq Black.
Robert Sacre, the meme of the one guy that's sitting on the Lakers bench like by himself. You don't remember that one?
No, I missed that one.
The big bald guy on the, yeah, that's Robert Sacre.
Poor guy. It's not the kind of meme you want to have of yourself. So obviously, I'm going to take a center here, and obviously, I'm going to take Carl Anthony Towns. He's the best center in this entire draft.
Also from the University of Kentucky.
Yeah.
Two best players in this draft both played at Kentucky, and they somehow still lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four.
There is, let's see, two more Kentucky guys. Will either of them go in today's draft? Probably not.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Willie Cauley-Stein and Trey Lyles, former Piston Trey Lyles, but that's probably not going to happen. But Cat, as I was saying, you know, he's. I think Carl Anthony Towns is a good team away from everybody finally giving him some respect. And he plays for Minnesota. And as you mentioned, I think last week or the week before, this is a dumpster fire of a franchise. They have just never, ever been able to get it right. But Cat has always been great. 25, 26 points a game, double digit rebounds, all of all but just two seasons in his career. He's been relatively healthy up until last year when he missed a lot of games. But other than that, I mean, he's got three. He played three consecutive seasons with 82 games and then 77 and 74. And I think once he gets traded, which just seems like it's around the corner any day now, he's going to be just much better off. But with the Lakers, I'd be really interested to see him kind of under Kobe's tutelage.
Yeah, I love him, but
I think Kobe would just really, really – not that Cat has like a bad attitude or anything like that, but I think Kobe would really crack down on this guy.
Yeah, Kobe, I think, would toughen him up a little bit. Not that I'm not making any personal judgments on Carl Anthony Towns, but I think Carl Anthony Towns really, really could have benefited from a respected veteran to kind of show him what it takes to win games in the NBA, because 10 years later, I still don't think he really gets it. All right, so number three, oh boy. Actually, you know what, this is that. Man,
It's harder than it looks with this one.
Well, I have a clear best player on my board, but the problem is the Sixers already have a franchise talent that plays his position, and neither of them can play any other position. So, man. Yeah, this is a really – I wish I could trade this pick, to be honest with you. All right, so you know what? I'm just going to have to go with the talent because I cannot justify taking anybody else here. Out of the University of Texas, I believe, the Philadelphia 76ers select Miles Turner. And look, can he play with Joel Embiid? No, he can't. Let's just be honest there. But – If I look at everybody else on my draft board, I would rather take whoever I can get for Miles Turner and trade than draft somebody else and maybe not get as much out of them. And I think the beauty part about this is how this might work out in the Sixers' favor is that Embiid is going to miss this season too. He missed his first two seasons essentially in the NBA. That is going to give Miles Turner plenty of time to show his worth, and he was good fairly quickly in Indiana. I don't see that changing in Philadelphia. This is not a player that's going to stick with the Sixers long-term, but anyone that's a promising big man like Miles Turner that can block shots at a high level and shoot threes at a high level, you get him on a 1 year into a rookie contract, you're going to be able to ask the world in return. So I think this is going to play out very nicely if the Sixers don't screw it up, or they'll have Embiid coming back in a year, a prime trade ship in Miles Turner, and they'll be able to get, you know, the wing or the guard depth that they need.
Okay, well, here's the thing. You know, we often act like, and I see this in football a lot, we often act like general managers or scouts or whatever are like geniuses and they never get it wrong. But what if there's a situation where the Sixers draft Miles Turner here? We know that Embiid is going to be gone for a year or two. And what if they're just like, you know what, this Turner guy's all right. Let's just trade this Embiid guy, because they hadn't seen him in the NBA yet. It's not like they knew he was going to be what he is. They could.
You're right.
I think that you kind of put the Sixers in a situation where Embiid is somewhere else.
Well, you know what? That's on the Sixers. I'm not going to draft around my terrible management team. It is my job to pick the correct player. I think Miles Turner is the correct player at number three.
You know what?
What you said is entirely logical.
Yeah.
That this could actually encourage the Sixers to trade Embiid before giving him a chance. I'm just going to assume that they are not that bad at their jobs.
Well, you know what we're going to do, Keith? We're just going to go ahead and trust the process. All right. I'm up next with the New York Knicks, and in the words of Jerry Maguire, I'm not going to do what everyone thinks I'm going to do. I'm going to go. I've been planning this all day. Basically, I'm not taking Kristaps Porzingis here. I'm not going to stick. I am going to take a player that I think New York would absolutely love.
They didn't love Porzingis.
Well, I mean, they loved Porzingis, but you know, they I think they'd love Terry Rozier a lot more. I'm taking Scary Terry with the fourth pick here. And I mean, this is a guy that can take over a game if you let him. Like, he is they call him Scary Terry for a reason. I've seen him do it to the Pistons multiple times where he just kind of comes out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, you know, he's got 30 points and the Pistons are losing when a game that they were. I mean, I actually went to a Pistons Hornets game in Detroit a few years back, and the Pistons had the lead almost the entire game. Scary Terry comes out of nowhere. All of a sudden, the Pistons lose. I mean, that's the kind of guy that New York would love, a guy who puts up points in bunches, can talk some smack, has got some swag to him. I think Terry Rozier is perfect for New York. Plus, you know, I don't know. They're going to wind up moving Porzingis anyway. So, Yeah. You know, why not try something that I think might stick a little bit more?
See, I think that's your best argument, that the Knicks, even though Porzingis, I thought, worked out really well in New York for their first few years, they didn't really get anything for him in the end. So it was kind of wasted time, if you could say that. Rozier, I don't think he is as good as Porzingis, but I think you might have a point about maybe they get more out of him than they did Porzingis. I definitely think that he has a flashy, entertaining way that he plays basketball. He always plays hard. I think the New York fans would probably gravitate to him. I do wonder if our opinions are colored a little bit by the fact that Terry Rozier probably shoots better against the Pistons than any other team in the league. He's hot and cold against everybody else. Against the Pistons, he's
hot a legend.
There's no downside to Rozier when he sees the Pistons on the other end of the floor. He's like Vinnie Johnson. He just comes into the game on fire.
All right.
So the Orlando Magic, and just let me take a look at Orlando's roster because I don't remember their 15-16 season. They weren't that bad. They have Tobias Harris, but we all know he's going to get shipped out midseason. Do they have anyone? Victor Oladipo, but he's going to get shipped out. So
Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, Aaron Gordon's there long term. They do trade him, but it takes a while.
Right.
So they really don't have much of anything here for me to be concerned about. So I'm just going to go ahead and draft the obvious, Kristaps Porzingis, of Latvia. Porzingis, he was the great mystery in this draft class. No one, thinking back, no one really knew if he could play or not. He was kind of tall. There was that laughable draft photo of him looking like he's like a human cardboard cutout. He's so skinny. Everyone was concerned that, you know, he wouldn't be able to play without, you know, getting broken. And yeah, he's had some injury issues, but I think he's also proven himself an extremely productive offensive player. One of the best offensive big man in the NBA since he was drafted. When he's been healthy, he's been a highly, highly efficient player. Terrible defender, but he does block shots at the rim. So I'll give him that. How he fits with Orlando, I just got done saying, I don't really care because they're going to trade all of their young assets anyway.
Right.
So I do wonder if they are still interested in Serge Ibaka, if they have Kristaps Porzingis. And if they're not, well, that's just better for them because Oladipo, once he finally gets an opportunity as a ball-dominant two-guard, will develop into a star. So I think this is a win-win for Orlando.
You know, speaking of Kristaps, the best thing about Kristaps Porzingis getting drafted that night was Stephen A. Smith's response. Stephen A. Smith, noted Knicks fan. Look, I'm not the biggest Stephen A. Smith fan, but this I'll never forget. This made me laugh hysterically, and I'm going to go ahead and play it for everybody. So enjoy the next 2 minutes of Stephen A. Smith.
Well, first of all, it beats me. Let me be very, very clear. I'm very confused at this pick simply because when I think about Phil Jackson, he made promises that he's simply not keeping. And if I seem a bit agitated, yes, it would happen to be because I'm on vacation and I came off vacation just to talk about this subject because as a native New Yorker, I'm completely disgusted. When I look at this kid, Porzingis, let me be very, very clear about this kid, Porzingis, okay? The kid is talented. He knows how to spread the floor. He's 7'1". He's 220. He can put the ball on the floor. He can spread it. He can shoot from the perimeter. He's got tremendous talent. And in 3 to 5 years, he may very well be big time. But, gentlemen, this is not about that. This is about now. Because when you look at the fact that Phil Jackson picked this individual, you're talking about a project. Phil Jackson in the New York Knicks passed up on at least 4 dudes who are NBA ready now. You got Willie Cauley-Stein. You passed up on him. You got Justice Winslow, who I think is a steal in the draft. You passed up on him, okay? Stanley Roberts out of Arizona. You passed up on him. That's just to name a few. And why did you do this? You did this because of some dude who may or may not be ready in 2 years. A year after you paid Carmelo Anthony $124 million, told the city of New York you were going to be respectable, you were going to contend for a playoff spot within the Eastern Conference, then has the temerity, the unmitigated gall, the disgusting proclamation that you did a great job because you cleaned up the house by tanking the season. And oh, by the way, when you tank the season, you didn't even do that right because 2 of your last 3 games at Atlanta, at Orlando, you lost those 2, basically giving more ping pong balls to the Minnesota Timberwolves, who ended up with the number 1 overall pick in the NBA draft. New York Knicks fans were at the Barclays Center booing because we recognize that we have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived by Phil Jackson and the New York Knicks. That is...
I
they've been bamboozled, hoodwinked, led astray.
Wrong. I don't know how he gets away with being so aggressively wrong.
Oh my gosh. The temerity. What a word.
Unready Kristaps Porzingis, by the way, averaged 14 points and 2 blocks per game his rookie season.
Yeah.
The unready. Also, Stanley Roberts was a overweight center in the early 1990s.
Pretty sure he's referring to Stanley Johnson.
Oh, I know he's referring to Stanley Johnson. And that if he had said the name correctly, it still wouldn't have been any better of an answer. Nope. Just 2 minutes of someone just being aggressively wrong and saying so many things that were just blatantly not true and proven to be not true. Oh, that gives me a headache.
I always thought the whole bamboozled, hoodwinked, run amok, led astray. Like, come on, man. It's a New York Knicks draft pick. It's not like...
Yeah, were the New York Knicks on the cusp of winning a championship in 2015? Did I fall asleep?
No, you did not. They were not.
What was the rush? Even if Porzingis was a project, what was the rush to get better?
The other thing is... He threw about 17 compliments at the guy before saying that he wasn't ready.
Oh yeah, you said, oh yeah, he's very talented, but you know he's going to take 3 to 4 or 5 or whatever he said years to develop.
Yeah,
which was not true. And then he listed off a bunch of other 19-year-olds that never developed. Okay.
Good stuff. I by the way, I think Porzingis on the Celtics was a very underrated move. I think that's another one that
he's got to stay healthy, but I think that was their big chip push to the middle.
Yeah.
All
right. Sacramento Kings on the board. Let's see. I kind of had Porzingis pegged to play here because I thought with all the stuff that was going on in Orlando, you would stray away from doubling down on a position that they kind of already had covered because Aaron Gordon was there. But Keith is not one to do that. Keith is more of a Brad Holmes, I'm going to go in and get my guys and I don't care kind of guy. More of that's the kind of GA.
That makes sense. I will draft for fit outside the top 3 or so if it makes sense. But given that Orlando's going to trade most of their roster anyway, And if anything, Porzingis might put them in a position where they could actually change their minds and keep Victor Oladipo, the one guy that they shouldn't have traded. I just don't see a downside to that.
Right. Well, I'm going to go with I think, you know, the probably the easiest decision here to make is I'm going to send Norman Powell to the Sacramento Kings. I think he's, I mean, arguably the best player left on the board at this point. And yeah, I mean, the Kings are a really bad team. They still got Boogie here, and that's really it. This team is just a bunch of, you know, role players, essentially. Caron Butler, all due respect to Caron Butler, love that guy, but he's kind of at the tail end at this point. And Rondo, you know, is Rondo. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Norman Powell here. I think it took him a little while before he really got going, but he's become a really good player.
Yeah, it was a end of the rotation player, but he was in the rotation on the Raptors championship team.
Yep.
I mean, not much else to say. He could put up 20 points a game if you give him a lot of minutes. His efficiency is okay, but he can space the floor for you, makes everyone else better by being out there. Not the worst defender, not great. But overall, yeah. Look, I think there are two guys that were at the top of my board. He was the one of them, and I don't think there's a big difference between them. I think it all just depends on situation. I think Powell is probably the better fit for Sacramento. All right. The Denver Nuggets at number 7.
Before you make this pick, I have a pick for it, and I'm really hoping that you'll do it because I think it's a really great fit. But let's see what you do.
Well, we have Nikola Jokic already. What year was Jamal Murray drafted? Let me check.
That's 17, I think.
Yeah, we're just gonna go with no, he gets drafted the year after this.
Oh, okay.
So we're kind of in between. The reason I ask is I don't want to do anything to discourage them drafting Jamal Murray, but I don't think this is going to be that big of an issue. You know what? I'm going to go against type here. I am going to take a wild swing. The Denver Nuggets, out of UNLV, the Denver Nuggets select Christian Wood.
Boom, nailed it. That's exactly what I had. Perfect.
I almost nearly dropped him off my board because of this reason. Christian Wood came into the NBA, a very talented kid. There was a reason he wasn't even drafted. He wasn't willing to put in the work. He wasn't willing to be a professional, do the things that you need to do to keep a career in the NBA. And he had to be out of the NBA for multiple years and be languishing on the bench for multiple teams in order for him to get that message. I don't know if there's any other way he gets that message unless he's on a very successful franchise that can hopefully get through to him earlier. The Nuggets, as of 2015, have not proven themselves to be a very influential franchise, but they clearly have guys that know what they were doing, even at the time. Obviously, they built a championship team. So I am going to take Christian Wood and hope. It's kind of a roll of the dice, but I don't really care because I don't want to upset the apple cart. They essentially wasted the number 7 pick anyway on someone that wasn't necessarily worth it. So in my mind, I'm kind of playing with house money. If Christian Wood develops faster ahead of schedule, then he gives the Denver Nuggets an awesome weapon, possibly a third big, a sixth man, that can really change the dynamic of their team. And if he doesn't work out, then they'll probably win a championship anyway, because the guy that they originally drafted here did not work out at all. All right, so that is my argument for taking an undrafted player 7th overall.
Yeah, I just kind of looked at it like this almost expedites what they got out of Aaron Gordon a little bit.
A little bit, but they were very – I would say they're polar opposites, even though they play the same position. Because Wood is an exceptional offensive player, does not defend worth a lick, whereas Gordon is more of a playmaker and a defender, doesn't really shoot the ball that well, unless you basically dare him to.
Well, I will be now tasked to pick a better player than Stanley Johnson. I know this is one of the hardest things I'll ever have to do. No disrespect to Stanley.
Koo, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but yeah, we're not drafting Stanley Johnson today.
No. I will say, man, one of the guys I wanted to work out so bad, you know, one of those handful of Pistons picks that didn't work out that I just really, really wanted to work out. He was definitely one of them. But it just, him and Sekou, you know, I just really thought after that Sekou dunk, his rookie year, that posterized dunk, I thought, okay, this, he's going to be a superstar. And of course, that did.
Yeah, he walked off after that game like Jordan against Utah in the finals and just retired.
Yeah,
we just didn't know it yet.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Yeah. But okay, so let's look at the Pistons roster that we have right now. So we know that, like, Brandon Jennings is on this roster at least to start the season. He's going to get traded. Brandon, the injury has happened at this point.
Yeah.
He's trending down, like, pretty badly at this point. We're going to get Tobias Harris at some point. Marcus Morris. Yep. And you got KCP as well. And, of course, Drummond is still here. So what this team doesn't have is a point guard. I mean, Reggie Jackson, it hasn't happened yet. That trade hasn't happened yet, right? That happens.
No, that happened at the end of the previous season.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do anyways.
They're about to sign him to a max extension.
Oh God, can they not? And then I'll just do what I want to do instead.
I mean, you can make the decision, but argue that that's going to make them not want to re-sign Reggie Jackson.
Oh, well, that just ruins everything because I had a plan. Let me do some things right here real quick. I totally skipped over Reggie. Just totally forgot that he existed. I mean, we're just going to wind up trading him anyways, but
Reggie Jackson, no, they let him go. They didn't trade him.
Right. They're just going to wind up letting him go anyways. You know what I'm saying? All right, screw it. I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to take D'Angelo Russell with this pick because I think he's better. I think he's better than Reggie Jackson. I think he's a better 3-point shooter. I think he's a better distributor. I mean, he's just a better player. I think he's a better scorer. No disrespect to Reggie, but man, you're not going to get that hero ball stuff out of D'Angelo Russell. And Reggie, whether I'm wrong, and you're probably going to say that I am, he just way too many times tried to be a guy who could take over the game when he's not a guy who could take over the game. And it was just very, very hard to watch that happen, especially when it was a game that was winnable. So I'm going to take D'Angelo Russell, and I think Detroit will be a good spot for him too, because he's not going to get moved around. This guy's been traded way too many times, if you ask me. And I think that Detroit would be a good spot for him, where he doesn't have to come in and he doesn't have to play next to Kobe Bryant and try to hold up to that. And he doesn't have to be the guy in Brooklyn. And he doesn't have to go be, you know, Steph Curry's backup or running mate. And, you know, I just think this is the best fit for him right away. And that's why he's going to be drafted by the Pistons.
I don't know. I just think D'Angelo Russell has been around I think he's bounced around way too many times. Bounce around once or twice, you can blame it on bad luck. I think when you get to your fifth or sixth team, I think it's time to start looking in the mirror. LA was not the greatest spot for him. He underperformed, definitely, but he was, you know, under pressure as being the second pick in the draft. Couldn't live up to it. They gave up on him quickly. He goes to Brooklyn. Brooklyn, he actually has his best years with. It makes the All-Star team. It was enough for them to package him for Kevin Durant in a sign-in trade. And, yeah, he did fairly well there, and then he goes to Golden State. Everybody knows that he's not going to stick around because Golden State's just keeping him as trade bait. Goes to Minnesota, and his years in Minnesota were nails on a chalkboard. I would argue that that D'Angelo Russell in Minnesota was a worse fit than Reggie Jackson in Detroit. And now he's back in LA where they use him, you know, every other game or so when he gets hot. And when he's not hot, they keep him on the bench because he doesn't really play defense or playmake for anybody else. But look, all that said, this is not the deepest draft class ever, and I think D'Angelo Russell is still arguably the best player on the board. It makes me feel a little bit better that the Pistons, even though they did kind of blow the eighth pick on Stanley Johnson, everybody remembers that they passed up on Devin Booker at number eight. But the problem is, looking back on it, they really shouldn't have had any shot at Devin Booker. The eighth best player in this draft class, by both of our estimations, is D'Angelo Russell, who is not a franchise-changing player by any means. So, yeah, Stan Van Gundy should have seen Devin Booker coming, but so should the seven teams that had a pick before Stan Van Gundy. This was just not a very well-scouted draft. It just wasn't. All right. So, number nine, the Charlotte Hornets. God, I'm glad I can say that again. Let me pull up Charlotte's roster real quick. I believe they are a playoff team. Yes, this was their best season of the 2010s. 48 wins under Steve Clifford. They're trying to recapture that magic. And really, it was 48 wins with smoke and mirrors and plus Kemba Walker. They were a top 10 offensive and defensive team somehow, some way, with Kemba Walker, Courtney Lee, what was their starting lineup? Marvin Williams, Cody Zeller, PJ Harrison. Like, this was not a great team, great roster by any means. And somehow he gets in there. So, all right, what does this team need the most? Obviously, it's not guard help. It's probably help up front. Al Jefferson, biggest defensive liability in the league. They need some defense up there. I have the perfect fit, and that's one Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis, who I also would have loved on the Pistons, by the way. He is a guy that's the quintessential glue guy. If you give him a ton of money and you ask him to be a team leader or a star, he is going to frustrate you tremendously. If you just stick him into a role and allow him to stay within that role, I think he's one of the most valuable role-playing bigs in the entire league. A very physical player, okay defender, but when he fouls you, you'll know it. Good, solid rebounder, pretty good offensive rebounder. Most importantly, he can spread the floor. You stick him in the corner, he'll knock down corner threes. I think the world of Bobby Portis, and so does everybody else, which is why he gets paid every time he's a free agent. Does he get the Hornets out of the first round versus Miami? I think he actually could make the difference, believe it or not. That series was razor close. But look, I don't – obviously, he's not going to change their fortunes long term, but I think he actually could win them a playoff series. And speaking of the Miami Heat – I'm sorry.
Speaking of the Miami Heat, yes.
Yeah, they're up next at pick 10.
What a weird team this was. This is like in the aftermath of LeBron leaving. Chris Bosh is still here. Amari Stoudemire is on this team. Dwayne Wade, I think this is when he came back to Miami before he ultimately retired. Hassan Whiteside. I mean, they've got a lot of names on here. Goran Dragic, Udonis Haslem, surprisingly, still with the Heat. I think he's still.
Speaking of things coming full circle, do you remember Miami had one of the weirdest seasons ever in, I think, 2015?
Yeah.
The year after LeBron left. I think they started the season red hot, and then they closed the season just as cold as they were hot. And they were knocked out of the playoffs, out of the playoff race the last week of the season. Do you remember who hit the game-winning shot that beat them, that essentially eliminated them from the postseason?
LeBron James?
Reggie Jackson.
Reginald Jackson.
Reggie Jackson. Okay. Things come full circle. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm going to now that LeBron's gone, this team could use a small forward because old Joe Johnson and James Ennis, you know, and Justice Winslow, who's not going to get drafted, despite Stephen A. Smith saying that he is one of the biggest steals of the entire draft. I am going to take Kelly Oubre to go ahead and fill in this position here. Kelly is another guy, much like D'Angelo, who has probably been moved way too many times. I don't know, maybe, like they just can't seem to find the right spot for him. But he could play. I don't see what's so wrong with him. He has a maybe some problems staying healthy, but when he is healthy, he can play. And last year with Charlotte, he had 20 points a game. It was a decent season for him. You know, that's a strong showing for Kelly Oubre. And I think in Miami, things will work out for him. He's going to be surrounded by veterans who are going to help him kind of get used to the NBA game. And that's something I don't really think he's had. I mean, he was with John Wall and Bradley Beal over in Washington. But, you know what I'm saying. It's guys who have won a championship are a little bit stronger of a veteran leadership than I would say guys who haven't won championships.
Yeah, I think Kelly Oubre has kind of gotten a reputation over his career of being someone that was very talented and not necessarily reliable, not the most professional type of player. But I'm loving his fit on the Miami Heat because, like you said, there's no more professional team in the league. They will get you into shape. They will make you the best version of yourself, or they'll get rid of you. I think there was a reason Kelly Oubre, despite averaging 20 some points a game, was still without a team until like a week ago. I think there's a good argument that playing in Miami for Spoelstra and Pat Riley kind of maybe that doesn't fix things, but I think there's a good shot that it puts him on a better career trajectory.
I wonder, do you think Oubre could be a Pat Riley guy?
I think part of the reason why teams kind of shied away is that he kind of plays defense by himself. It's not that he doesn't play good defense or he doesn't give effort, but he gambles so much on steals. He reaches in a lot. He commits a lot of dumb fouls because he tries to make the splash play, which is a lot of his offensive game is the same way, rather than fitting into a team concept. All right, so number 11, the Indiana Pacers are up next. And the Indiana Pacers, they're on the downswing. They're still a pretty good team, but they're no longer the championship contender they were a couple years prior. They've still got Paul George for at least another year. Still got George Hill. I don't know why they brought in Monte Ellis. Pacers fans, I don't think, know either. He was not well loved there. CJ Miles, and Rodney Stuckey is the sixth man. This was still a good team, playoff team, but I think they're going to have to get worse before they get better. Is there anybody here long-term that I think helps them? Not necessarily. There is somebody here that I think that's a great fit for them this season, and that is, do I really want to do this? Yeah, I'm going to do this anyway. Tyus Jones. And here's the ultimate problem with the Pacers in the mid-2000s. You got George Hill, you got Rodney Stuckey, you got CJ Miles, you got Monte Ellis. You got nothing but combo guards. You got nothing but guys that want to handle the ball like a point guard, but they want to take shots first before giving the ball up. Tyus Jones, more of a pure point guard, a good outside shooter, more of a steady hand, a steady influence. I think he would do a world of difference for that team. Kind of what – I don't want to compare him to T.J. McConnell because he's better than T.J. McConnell, but the point stands. That team desperately needed more of a traditional-type point guard. I think their ball movement kind of suffered, and I think that's why they didn't last long in the playoffs. I think Tyus could actually be an impact player. Long term, look, he's a guy that's best served as a backup, but in the short term, I think it's worth it to spend a pick on maybe getting them out of the first round.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't have him on my board. You know, maybe I should have, but he just really flew under the radar for me.
Yeah, like, and I get it. Tyus Jones is not anybody's idea of a superstar, but he is very well known as one of the top, you know, two or three backup point guards in the entire league right now. Oh. All right, so the number 12 pick belongs to the Utah Jazz. And setting the stage for Utah, what does their roster look like right now?
Well, they've got...
they are a picture of mediocrity. Wow.
Yes, yes. They've got Rudy Gobert, Derek Favors, Gordon Hayward, and yeah. I mean, that's really the... And Trey Burke, you know, that's really the, I guess, the...
Yeah, the name of the game. This roster just screams play-in team, even though there's no play-in. This is the exact type of team that makes the play-in every year. Yeah, Rodney Hood is on the team. But yeah, you have Gordon Hayward, who's an established, very good player. I won't say star. And you have Rudy Gobert, who's working his way up. And then you have a bunch of, you have a whole lot of role players that should probably be coming off of somebody's bench. Instead, three of them have to start.
Yeah, this is a hard one. I guess, I mean, what you could do is just jam someone into the team and hope for the best.
Well, I mean, the good news is outside of center and, you know, shooting guard slash small forward, I think you could pick pretty much anybody and not have to worry about fit.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to go with, I'm going to go with a guy that I just like. How about that? I'm going to pick Jetty Osman here. Because I just like him, and I think he's a good role player. He could really back up Gordon Hayward off the bench. I think he can hit a three if you need him to. He could play some defense. I don't think he's the best player left on the board, but I just like his fit in Utah, and that's why I'm taking him.
Yeah, it is now my turn to say that this guy is not on my board.
You don't have Jetty Osman on your board? Oh,
no.
That's surprising.
And it's not because it said Jetty can't play. I think maybe he was a victim of expectation. Look, his rookie year coincided with LeBron's last season in Cleveland. He was in Europe for a few years before they brought him over. There was a little bit of anticipation for him. He didn't play a whole lot. When he did get in, he shot the ball pretty well. But he was like their human victory cigar were. They were up by 20 points, get Jetty in there. And when LeBron left, there was a lot of expectation that Jetty could, that they could possibly have another star waiting in the wings in Jetty Osman. And he wasn't. He was just a adequate, an adequate one-dimensional shooting small forward. And that's not the worst thing in the world. Like you said, he averaged double figures just about every year in Cleveland until this past season. How does he fit with Utah? I think we both just agree that I don't think that there is a bad fit unless you were to pick a center for the Utah Jazz, because Gordon Hayward's not going to stick around there very long either. And there are much better years ahead for Utah. And if there's one thing that they look for in their wings, it's the ability to hit threes. And Jetty Osman can certainly do that. He's a very pure outside shooter. So I think he fits in long-term with them very well. All right, the Phoenix Suns at my personal last pick, the Phoenix Suns at number 13, and they go this whole decade without being worth a damn outside of after 2010. So I don't know if I really need to look up their roster, but I will anyway. Now we were robbing them of Devin Booker, who was the number one pick in this draft. So no matter what I do, I'm killing their future.
Yeah.
They've got Eric Bledsoe, who's going to put up some numbers, and he'll be good trade bait. They've got Brandon Knight, who's never going to be the same player again after the injury. They've got Markieff Morris and the circus that went on there after they traded his brother and left him in Phoenix. That was not pretty. Entertaining for the rest of us, but not good for Phoenix. So, yeah, this is going to be... Phoenix is going to be at their probably lowest point in franchise history for the next few years. Is there anyone I can give them at all that will make fans feel better about coming to the games. Yes, yes, there is. There absolutely is, and I'm kicking myself for not looking at his name sooner. Larry Nance Jr. Larry Nance Jr., never going to be a star, and I don't care who selects him. But here's what he is. He is the son of Larry Nance, a well-loved Phoenix legend during the 80s, and even more well-loved because as he got older, they flipped him to the Cleveland Cavaliers for Kevin Johnson, and that turned out to be – and then a pick that turned into Dan Majerle, which was just one of the greatest it was a win-win for both teams, but it really kick-started a Suns franchise that was in disarray at the time. And it's not like Larry Nance Jr. can't play. He clearly can. He has his dad's athleticism. He just never had the skill. Very, very entertaining player. A guy that could be in the slam dunk contest just about every year if he wanted to be. Good energy player. He's been around the block, but he is well-loved by every team that he plays for. I think this is a great fit to hold. I think he'll be a fan favorite. I'll put it that way. The Suns will not win any more games because of him, but they'll be a fan favorite. And if they do turn it around, even without Devin Booker, I think he'll be a part of it.
That's funny because he's it's almost like you almost feel like Larry Nance Jr. wound up with the Cleveland Cavaliers just because.
Yes, for the same reason.
For the same exact reason. Yeah, that's funny. All right. I always just remember Larry Nance from he gets drafted by the Lakers, and then Lakers fans uncover this tweet he had about Kobe Bryant. I don't remember what it says, but it was disrespectful towards Kobe. And Larry has to walk in day one and go up to Kobe and they, you know, and talk about it with him. Like, that's just, could you imagine that's your first day on the job?
So ridiculous.
All right. So the Oklahoma City Thunder is the last pick of this draft. And this team is like really interesting. Russell Westbrook and a bunch of guys really is what it is. Nick Collison, obviously.
There's also a guy named Kevin Durant.
Is Durant still on the team at this point?
He's still on. Yes.
Oh, my bad. What? I missed it. Okay. It's Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and a bunch of guys. Steven Adams.
They come within a game of making the finals this year.
You're right. They do. That's my bad. Some guy named Kevin Durant. I don't know. Maybe you've heard of him. So I'm just going to go ahead and pick somebody and wipe this egg off my face. I'm going to send Josh Richardson to the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think that's a solid two guard option for them. Right now they really don't have one. They've got Anthony Morrow, Andre Robertson, Dion Waiters, and Randy Foy. And that, you know, I think Randy Foy may be the best option there, I guess, if I had to pick one. I think you send Josh Richardson here, and I think things get a lot better. Now, Richardson's not the greatest player in the world, but this is a guy who averages double figures in points pretty much every year of his career. And, you know, that's really the only reason I'm taking him here. So when you get this late in the draft, you just kind of got to go with who's there.
Is it ridiculous of me to say that Josh Richardson was also not on my board, and yet I still love this pick?
It is ridiculous. How is Josh Richardson not on your board?
I told you it was a short board. It's only 17 guys. 17 guys. Trey Lyles was actually the very last player on my board. It was between him and Josh Richardson. But I will say this: yes. The shooting guard position on Oklahoma City in 2016 was probably their Achilles heel. Not literally their Achilles heel. Nobody tore that, but it was their primary weakness because even though they should have defeated the Golden State Warriors, there was a lot of sagging off, especially in that game seven, a lot of forcing Anthony Roberson to hit, you know, basic shots, which he couldn't do, but they had to keep him on the floor anyway because he was such a great defender. And yeah, they tried everything at shooting guard. Nothing worked. Josh Richardson, believe it or not, might actually be the best option for them at this point. It is crazy to hear myself say that he could be the difference between them winning a championship or not.
But that's the only time that will ever be said about Josh
Richardson. They were so close. They were so close to winning it all, or at least getting to the finals against Cleveland, that could actually be the case. I would be very curious to see how that would have changed.
Well, that's the only time anyone's going to ever say that about Josh Richardson, is he's the difference between a championship or not a championship. Well, here's the guys who, because I think it's interesting to talk about, and this is something we should have been doing back since 1984, but here we are, we're almost done. But here's the guys who I have left on my board. Montrezl Harrell, which I guess this is surprising that he didn't get picked. Jahlil Okafor, Justice Winslow, who was the steal of the draft, Cameron Payne, TJ McConnell, and Pat Connaughton are the only guys that I have left on my board that didn't get picked.
All right. I had Rashawn Holmes, Royce O'Neal, Montrezl Harrell, and Kevon Looney.
Oh, Kevon Looney. That's another one. Gosh, he's suddenly become kind of a starter in the NBA, at least for the Warriors.
And the only one I can't really believe that I couldn't find a spot for was Montrezl Harrell. But it was just the last couple of teams. They needed wing or guard help more than they needed big man. It was a numbers thing. But yeah, I thought Montrezl Harrell, talent-wise, if I just listed the 14 most talented players in this draft, I think Harrell would probably be on it somewhere at the end. But it just comes down to fit sometimes.
So I know before we get out of here, I know people can't see this, which sucks, but do you remember this video game right here, Keith?
Yeah, it was a very bad game.
Charles Barkley, Shut Up and Jam. Keith thinks it's a bad game. I thought it was amazing. It was one of my favorite games I used to play for Sega. You said Dan Marley, and I just kind of glanced over, and I'm looking at this Charles Barkley Shut Up and Jam video game. I hooked up my Sega in my office this week, and I'm going to play that later on tonight. But that is a game. If you have a Sega, go out and get Charles Barkley Shut Up and Jam. And I also have NFL Football 94, which I think it's like one of the first football games.
It's not even a Madden game?
No, it's NFL Football 94. And it's got Joe Montana. It's got Joe Montana on the cover with the Kansas City Chiefs.
And so it's Joe Montana NFL Football, right?
No.
That was a franchise, right? For Sega, wasn't it Joe Montana Football?
No, this is just NFL Football 94. Okay. This is NFL licensed.
I thought like, Joe Montana Football was like one of their launch titles. I thought that was like their exclusive. Okay.
This is basically like the NFL's own video game, essentially. Like they tried to make their own.
What better way to draw young fans in to buy your video game than putting a picture of Kansas City Chiefs Joe Montana?
Yeah. Well, that was kind of a thing at the time, and he was all right with the Chiefs.
That's like putting Wizards Michael Jordan. Yeah, he was all right, but what are we doing here? Put Barry Sanders on
Raptors, Hakeem Elijah one. By the way, Barry Sanders on this game, and I know we're getting a little into the weeds. I got two points on this game. The first one is Barry Sanders. If you play this game and you hit the spin move, you just hit the button over and over again, he will spin literally to the end zone. No one can tackle him. It's impossible. You do the same thing with Mel Gray on kick returns on this game. I don't know what it is. If you try it with any other player, it won't work. But all you have to do is hit the spin move, and it will spin him directly to the end zone.
That is a quality product, right?
That's a quality product. The other cool thing about this game is that I think this is the first, and I'm probably wrong, but I think this is the first football game that had like commentary on it. So I think you've got Pat Summerall, and he says stuff like NFL Football 94. Tonight, the Detroit Lions face the Kansas City Chiefs.
And it's just, I love it. It is, oh my God, I don't believe it. And stuff like that. It's starting to snow. Got to go play this game if you haven't played it. It's one of my favorites of all time.
So just so I can clear my name a little bit.
Yeah.
The official title of the game is NFL Football 94 starring Joe Montana.
Oh, starring Joe Montana. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. They neglected to
put that. So that was part of the franchise.
They neglected to put that on.
Part of the Joe Montana football franchise.
In very small writing, it does say starring Joe Montana. You're right. You're right. All right. Well, that'll conclude our Sega talk. I'll be playing Charles Barkley Shut Up and Jam later on. So we'll see you guys next week. I want to be very clear about what this episode is about next week. We are covering James Edwards. Not Pistons beat writer James Edwards, friend of the show and a two-time guest. The basketball player, the former bad boy James Edwards is who we're going to be talking about. Also, no relation. Don't ask James. I'm sure he doesn't like it. No relation.
James Edwards will not be on the show next week to talk about James Edwards.
I'm not going to guarantee that. We might try to get James Edwards for at least like 5 minutes. We'll see what happens. Don't count on it. James Edwards, the basketball player, next week. We'll see you guys then.